Just for everyone in the room, information, if you want to speak, when you do start to speak, please say your name, and then we can identify who's speaking if we need to refer to the recording when we play back at a later date. Thank you. Okay, 7 o'clock, so we're going to start the meeting. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to all the visitors. We're going to take planning after apologies for absence, interests, and approving the minutes. So it'll be the first public info item. So apologies for absence. Well, we're a bit thin on the ground. We've got Martin is unwell, so he's staying at home, but is taking part in the Zoom meeting. That won't allow him to vote on key matters, including planning, but we will be quorum on planning for all bar 85A Back Street when I've got to leave the room because I have an interest to declare. So the other apologies for absence, we've got Vinnie, Chris, and Vinnie and Chris are working late. Ian Duffy is on holiday. And that's it. So interests, is there anyone with an interest? Was it just me over 85? A Back Street. Okay. Right. On to minutes. Would someone like to propose approval of the draft minutes of the last meeting?
Yeah. I don't know whether you can see me or not.
Yeah, we can. We can.
Yeah. And I've got one thing to say on those minutes.
Okay. All right. Say it then, Martin.
67C, there was an implication that delays in certain things were down to the clerk. They were in fact due to the huge amount of stuff coming in from Mr. Cook.
Member of the public, right. Okay.
Member of the public, yes.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Can someone make a proposal about the draft minutes of the Finance Committee?
Yeah, those exceptions, yeah.
Everyone happy with that? Okay. Thank you. So we'll move on to public issues and public participation in open forum, and we'll jump straight to planning so that those who need to get away can do so quickly. Let's start with...
And can you just make, for my benefit, Chairman, very clearly when you went from one chamber to another? Because I can't see anything, as you know.
Okay, right. So we're going to take first item, Martin. We're going to take is the land between 40 Gardeners Lane and Cheyne Cottage.
Yep.
Which is the application for a three-bedroom dwelling with vehicular access and parking. Would members of the public like to wish to say something? Start now. Who wants to go first?
I'll go first.
Yeah. So, William Bray.
William Bray. I live at 40 Gardeners Lane. Have done for 40 years, almost. So this is yet another planning application for something that previously been rejected on several occasions by the Parish Council, North Arts District Council, and the Planning Inspectorate. The application is identical to the scheme as rejected in 2005, even with the same drawings. Barbara and I object to the proposal because the building will destroy the open aspect of the lane and the character of the conservation area of Gardeners Lane. In the inspector's report in 2006, He noted that the only way of maintaining the views of the church and the isolated nature of Chain Cottage was to keep the site free of urban development. Secondly, the building will dominate this end of the lane. There are no levels shown on the application drawings. It appears that the proposed building will rise above the height of our cottage and also Chain Cottage. Three, the loss of the green space. The site was part of Chain Cottage Garden. And the site is used to be covered with fruit trees, bushes, shrubs, and other vegetation. All of this was destroyed by the current applicant. Fourthly, the vehicular access, another access onto the lane, will present an additional hazard. This lane is at times very heavily trafficked with surgery and very large agricultural vehicles. The application makes much of the changes in the area, but these were all considered in the planning inspector's report in 2006. A further red herring to muddy the waters is the question of a second cottage raised in the application. There was a second cottage, but this was completely within the curtilage of number 40, that is our cottage. And this is clearly shown on the 1924 Ordnance Survey map. The cottage was demolished in 1937 and the bricks were used for an extension on number 40, work being undertaken by my grandfather and my great uncle. There was no building on the application site. It is vital for the conservation area and the important landscape of our historic village in this area that the application is rejected again. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Gemma, would you like to?
Well, just to echo what William said, this application has materially not changed since the previous inception. There's nothing new to add. There's no reason why yourselves or District or County Council should approve something that's not changed. As William said, it would be out of character with the picture now of the dwellings as stated in the later plan. It would offer our sight lines massively towards the church. The applicant has over the last, well, we've been living there 12, 13 years, has over the last 12, 13 years destroyed the land and made great attempts to destroy the land. But as we see between each application, industrial strength, nuclear, nature comes back. And every spring, before it comes back to destroy it, you get beautiful wildflowers. Every time, despite lowering the ground, despite all these attempts, nature wants to bring. And I think we need to let nature win, because it will be a beautiful spot as you're walking down through the village, opposite the entrance to the doctor's surgery, rather than another building, which with the best room in the world, will not be in keeping with our 300-year-old thatched cottage, nor the cottage at number 40. There is no way, however cleverly you design it, that you can make a cottage building fit. And he mentions in his proposal things like merchant tailors and whatnot, but that's irrelevant at this stage. You can't change the past. All we can do is make sure the future is advantaged by the retaining the appearance of the area. It is against the conservation area guidelines. It doesn't fit in with the neighbourhood plan. There is really no reason whatsoever I can see why you would approve something that has already been not approved on several occasions. We have offered the applicant to buy the land so that it can be preserved as is, and he has not accepted that.
Thank you. Any comments from anyone else in the public? No? Okay. Parish councillors, do you want to
go first?
Things that seem strange to me. One is that I believe it was originally sold by Chain Cottage.
Yeah, so not the only for us, but before.
Oh, then. Right, long time ago.
Because it's a massive garden. The applicant then offered to take it back to the owners before us, but they were of the view that they wanted to have garbage to cope.
And Although it appears to be an ideal spot for a cottage, there's, as you say, it's been turned down about three times.
Yeah, and they've gradually tried to remove anything natural on that site. It doesn't even fit in with the neighbourhood plan of what we need in the village. As you see by those lovely three-bedroom houses up next to 35 Ashford Street that are not selling.
So I'd like to know what the North Oxfordshire Street Council view is now. Now time has progressed, if it's possible.
Well, does Councillor Thompson know?
Can you speak up, please? Can you speak up?
Sorry, we're going to ask Tom if he has any idea of what the planning officer at North Hart
any new information,
what opinion he has. No.
Well, they've proposed it, haven't they? They're happy with it, aren't they?
We don't know that. We don't know that. There's no information.
No.
At the moment, from the planning officer. No. Okay. Norton.
Well, the application claims that since the last application was refused on appeal in 2006, the circumstances have changed in the physical environment and in the biology. You know, having looked at it, I can't really see how the physical environment has, in fact, changed since 2006, apart from some small works to the doctor's surgery, which are pretty, you know, trivial in my view. So, you know, this physical environment is pretty much the same. At least that's my take on it. As far as the planning regime is concerned, there was some incorrect reference to the five-year housing supply and also the lack of a North Hart's local plan, which was used to justify placing that development on that site. But it wasn't correct. I mean, now there is a proven five-year supply, and also there's a made plan. So in terms of the planning regime, yeah, there has been a change, but it probably means that the justification for rejecting the application is even stronger because we now have a neighbourhood plan. Now, the reasons for dismissal in 2006 were primarily the impact on the setting and the conservation area in that small area. And now we have a neighbourhood plan, and it refers to visual character areas and the need to protect them, as well as protecting the conservation area. And the relevant neighbourhood plan policy is SH3. As far as the space is concerned, it's approaching the edge of the village as well. So, and I'm sure the inspector bore this in mind when he made his judgment in the past. So, you know, there needs to be less dense development as you get to the edge of the village to preserve its character. And adding this as infill would crowd that particular area, which is again against the neighbourhood plan policy SH4, which it talks about respecting the topography of the area and minimising the impact on the historic environment. So in terms of sort of planning, I think the argument for rejecting the application is even stronger at the moment. So I would personally recommend that we put in our objections. I've had some comments from Chris Button. Unfortunately, he hasn't been able to be here, as you know. He's of slightly different mind, but I said I would actually read out his comments for you to consider. So he says, in my opinion, this is a wasted natural building plot in the village envelope, which seems suitable for infill. Whilst in the visual character area, the design seems sympathetic and the plot is well set back, which would appear not to impede views of the church from the north along Gardener's Lane. Certainly no more so than previous development in Merchant Taylor Close. It does not contribute to open space or ecology to the same degree as Donkey Meadow. So, as you can tell, Chris is broadly in favour. of the application. So those are the two sides of the argument, basically.
Yeah. I mean, there's only one other factor which I guess we should consider, or at least recognise, that it is an application for a three-bedroom house,
mm-hmm.
which meets the sort of preference in terms of scale.
Chairman, I have to ask you to speak up a bit because I can't see you, so I have to do it all.
Okay. Now, I was referencing the neighbourhood plan's preference for smaller dwellings of 2 and 3 bedroom size, which is apart from the, you know, I agree with this sort of character area and the setting, but I think we need to recognise that the application does is in respect of a three-bedroom house, which meets one aspect of the neighbourhood plan. But we ought to consider whether, on balance, the factors that it doesn't comply with outweigh the size matter.
So what does that mean of your view, then? Yes or no?
I think there's no solid argument for overturning the decision made by the last inspector.
May I?
Generally, yes.
Just to sort of refute what Chris was saying, that it doesn't have any natural beauty, it will. If left alone, it will be back to this gorgeous spot. Like William said, it used to have these lovely fruit trees in there that they really need to somehow kill and then go. They've done an awful lot of work without permission, which has destroyed what was a beautiful little meadow. Fine, not as big as Donkey's Meadow, but still a gorgeous little meadow, and it can become that again. And from conversations with the developer, with the landowner, they do not intend to sell it, they intend to live it. So it doesn't add a dwelling to the village. It just has population.
Okay.
Sorry, it's William Wright. Could I just echo that? Because it was a beautiful piece of wildlife area and has been totally destroyed along with the edge of our garden because the man's lowered the ground level, killed our plants in our garden, and damaged the tree roots and mature trees that are there.
With that lack of consideration when he hasn't got permission, with permission, Lord knows what he's trying to do.
Okay. I think we should go back into session two so that the parish council can take a view here at the proposal and decide on it. So
I propose we object to the application as it stands.
Okay.
In
support of that.
I don't think they'll change their mind, so I'll accept it.
Okay, and I'll accept that view as well. So,
Graham, do you want to state the grounds that you said just now, the proposal, that there was no solid argument for going against the decision of the inspector?
Yeah, and the same criteria, so therefore the same criteria, planning policies apply now as did then.
On the other hand, you have got neighbourhood plans since then.
Plus the relevant strength policies, SH3 and SH4 that Norton mentioned. Yeah.
So recommendation to object based on this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's move. Well, Rob, go back to
Graham. We've got Nikki Holmes. I can see has joined on Zoom.
Right.
Whether it would be.
Take that. Kirby Manor Farm.
Mindful of her circumstances to take that one at the same time.
Okay. We don't have a representative of the applicant.
No, we don't. Nikki's
Okay. So, Nikki, I know you've written, but would you like to say something about the proposed development?
Okay, thanks. So we live in the farm.
Can't hear a thing.
Can you speak a bit louder, please?
We live in the farmhouse, Kirby Manor Farm. And we have lived here for 37 years. The proposed development is immediately behind our property, and it's in a very rural location. There are only three other houses, and then you go half a mile down the road to the next house, and we're the first house on the right, or 2 miles from the village. I am speaking up, Martin. I can't do any more, I don't think. Can you hear me now, Martin?
Yeah, that's right. It's not like I'm deaf. It's a bad situation tonight.
I understand. Okay.
I'm getting most of it.
Okay. All right. I'll try and speak loudly, continually. Okay.
That's better.
Okay. All right. We'll do then. Thank you. So anyway, like I just said, that we're in the farmhouse and the development is right behind our property. There are only four houses in this little area, and the houses are, you know, spaced well apart. And in fact, the other three houses are on the other side of the road. Northfield Road is like 2 miles before you get to our house and the proposed development. It's a road which is not gritted in the winter. It's a road that gets very muddy because of continual large tractors that go up and down, and obviously coming up and off fields. It is a single track road. You can't pass two cars without stopping and going into pull-ins, of which there are no official pull-ins. And the pull-ins that are there that have been made through people pulling in have actually got big potholes in them, and they're definitely not maintained, and they're not very helpful for cars pulling over. The road's also used a lot by cyclists, it's used a lot by walkers, and it's, you know, quite a dangerous environment. And we're also used to cut through from when there's ever a problem on the A1. And there's a lot of development going on at the moment, as you'll be aware, out of Biggleswade and into Dunton, which is going to only increase the traffic coming along the road. We're concerned that the proposed development, which is not quite as stated, and I've checked this with North Arts Planning, it's actually as was originally proposed. So we're talking about two beds, 1 4-bed, 1 3-bed, and with parking allowed for 10 cars, two cars per property and two cars for visitors. So that's going to increase the number of properties in this little area from 4 to 8. And that's without taking into account the possible cumulative lived development, because there are a lot of derelict farm buildings literally right behind our house, as in a matter of feet away from us, which we are pretty sure would then be the next step in this. So what we're talking about there is building a sort of little, I suppose, a little community there, if this goes ahead. So that's one big concern is with regard to the highway, and the fact that it would then suddenly be very much more development in an area that doesn't have it at the moment. And we're worried about the cumulative development, as stated. We don't agree with the applicant's view that this development is of benefit to the existing houses in the setting for that reason, and for various other reasons. We're concerned about wildlife. There are bats, owls, and buzzards roosting in the area, and they're very likely to inhabit the barns behind us. We know they do. And there are badgers and foxes and muntjac in the vicinity. But there's no mention of an ecology report in the application. Contamination, there are chemicals for crop spraying that have been stored for many years right behind us in the farmyard, adjacent to the proposed development site. And again, there's no mention about toxicology reports, which we believe probably needs to be looked into, because we know that there are often spillages with this sort of situation. We're concerned about light pollution because it's a rural area with properties in the vicinity being spaced well apart, as I said. The addition of a solid block, which is what we're talking about, containing four properties with roof lights and lanterns and water outside lighting, access road lighting, so that they can get into the development, which is away from the road, would give a significant uplift in the level of light pollution. We're also concerned from a personal perspective, things like noise and privacy and disturbance. Now, it could be a bit NIMBY-ish, but, you know, we've lived here for 37 years. We've not had close neighbours. It's going to go from zero to, sort of four properties there close by. We're also concerned about things like water supply, because currently we and any other properties up here are not on mains water. and we're supplied by the applicant from the farm, which is, I don't know, probably about 2 miles away. And there is piping that goes through, and it's been in existence for at least 50 years. It certainly predates us coming here. And part of that piping goes right the way through our garden and out to the farmyard. So there are various implications there in terms of water, what the state of the pipes are, and maintenance and all that kind of thing. So we've got quite a lot of concerns about it, some personal concerns, but also concerns about what's happening, and importantly, what's happening in the area and the change to the area up here. So that kind of summarises, I guess, what our concerns are.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much, Nikki. Are there any members of the public who wish to comment before we go into session on this? Yes.
Anne Fletcher. Anne Fletcher, the record. Greening Ashwell will be writing some objections with regard to the environmental impact of the development. I am concerned personally about the reliance on the motor vehicle to get anywhere from that location. 10 cars, 12 cars, however many cars people have, there is no other way of getting to school, to shopping, to Ashwell for anything at all. That narrow road is just a nightmare. As a dog walker along there almost every day, and spurring up as it is. The other thing is there doesn't appear to have been any recognition that there might be birds nesting actually inside the barns. They haven't seemed to have had a look at what creatures might be displaced from the barns themselves. There doesn't appear to be any assessment of the visual impact on the landscape. So I shall be writing, and Green Ash will also be writing.
Thank you, Anne.
David Cookson, protecting the plants.
David, you've got your hand up.
Thank you, sir. I just wonder, Chair, if it's worth making a distinction.
Can you just announce yourself?
Sure, my apologies. David Cook. Chair, I wonder if it's worth you just clarifying the distinction between this application, which is a PD rights class Q prior approval application, has been distinct from a regular application.
Yeah, I was going to cover that. So because it's repurposing an existing agricultural barn, there is a presumption in favour of automatic approval stroke for development, as far as I'm aware. But whether reasons, sort of sound, what appear to be sound reasons for objecting to it would be taken into account, remains to be seen. But potentially, Councillor Tom Tyson could intervene and request that the application be discussed at a housing meeting, planning meeting. Was there anything else you wanted to say, David? No. Okay. Thank you. In which case. Tom, while you're here and this is the point in question, do you want to sort of clarify what you can and can't do in respect to this application?
Well, I believe that I can get it called into the planning committee. I just had to confirm that because it is a TNQ application, but I don't think there's any reason why it shouldn't be. And
speak up a bit, Tom.
I don't know if the parish councils are aware yet that there's been an objection from the highways authority that was submitted yesterday. So that would be a consideration that you want to factor into your thinking as well.
Okay. Thank you. Right. In which case, we'll go back into session and.
Point of clarification. Explain what calling is.
Yeah. Sorry. Just if I was going to mention this then, but just in terms of procedure. Where should I start? What's happening at this stage in this consultation process? I suppose that the planning department are looking for opinions from members of the public, everyone who's got an involvement and interest in the case as an individual, from the parish council, which we've just heard in your case, from myself, potentially, but not necessarily. Some applications are decided by the planning officers through delegated powers. Some applications are automatically heard by the planning control committee and decided by them because of their scale normally. And then there is the other possibility that the council member can call in an application to be heard by the planning committee. And normally speaking, that would be the ward member. In that case, it's me. So what I've got to do at some point is come to a decision about where I think this application, or your application for that matter, or any other, should be decided, whether by allowing it to be decided by the planning officer, or whether to call it in to be heard by the planning committee and have the members make the decision. So that's the process.
Okay, thank you, Tom. So we'll go back into session and not totally. No, we're doing them. We're going in and out of session. So we can take a decision. So we've covered Gardener's Lane. We'll come back on the Scarp Close after this.
Yeah, no, that's fine. Close. Yeah.
No, okay. No, you haven't. Thank you. No. Councillors, comments.
Can I ask you? Can you see me or hear me? Or
yeah, we can.
How much leave have we got of this? Don't forget the advantages of being old. I can remember them. The original came Scarp, and I didn't think we had much of a chance of doing anything. I'm not, you know, I have yes, no, nothing for or against at this stage, but what is the situation? Tom, you just said something that I didn't quite understand. We're being asked for something. Have we got reason to give anything or not?
We're talking about Kirby Manor development of the farms.
Kirby Manor is what I'm talking about. Do we have any say in it or not?
Yes, we do.
We do.
Right, David.
In some ways, it's hard to object because there's been so many farmers that have had houses built on their land, one way or another. But if Tom's going to call it in, I'd be interested to see what their opinion is. See, it's difficult to make a decision at the moment.
Norton?
Well, if there's going to be permitted development under this order, there have to be certain criteria that are met. Having had a look at them now, there seem to be a couple that I would query. Anyway, the first one is the location or siting of the building, has to be right, if it's impractical or undesirable for the building to change use, then it's not going to be allowed. One of the things that concerns me in that respect is something that Anne has mentioned, and that is that it's in the base. Right, I know we're living in the UK, but it's basically in the middle of nowhere, so it's not really sustainable from a transport point of view. It's a very long way from the station. It's a long way from the village as well, on a road that isn't really that's suitable for, you know, walking, as has been mentioned, or cycling. You know, in terms of sustainability, it really is quite undesirable. So on that grounds, I would suggest there's some concern. Another one of the criteria is that the design and external appearance of the building has to be sympathetic to its surroundings. Now, they're thinking of sticking a zinc roof on it. And if you look around that area, there aren't many buildings, but they've all got, you know, tiled roofs. There's not a lot of information about the kind of cladding or external finishing of the building. But, you know, the fact that it's going to have a zinc roof does strike me that the external appearance isn't really terribly sympathetic to the surroundings. So, again, on that criterion, I think there is cause for concern.
Okay. So, can we have a proposal, please?
Well, I would suggest we object on those grounds.
Okay. And David, you object? Okay. I think it's going to be a difficult one. Okay. Well, I think the points that have been raised, certainly about vehicular access and the impact of the road, or the impact on a limited a road with limited suitability, is significant, as well as the ecological impact. And it also concerns me about the services supplied to those houses in that location. Water supply, reliant on going through the existing residence grounds, seems unusual and less than ideal. And internet services, other telecommunication services, not clear as well. So it really seems an incomplete application.
Graham, can I just interject on the point that Tom made? Because the Highways Authority comment only came through yesterday. I only picked it up first thing this morning, so I'm not sure that you've seen it either. It picks up on one of the issues that Norton had already mentioned about sustainability. Briefly, it says, conclusion, it's accepted application is under permitted development provisions, Class Q. That said, Herts County Council's local transport plan 4 enshrined, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We totally reliant on access by motor vehicles and therefore is in direct conflict with the principles of that. In view of the proposals not reflecting the NPPF in support of sustainable transport, not being in accordance with HCC LTP 4, the Highway Authority has no alternative but to recommend the grant of planning permission be refused.
Right.
So that's in support of Norton's
views on that. Okay. So I think on those grounds, everyone wants to object.
So support the...
No, I want to abstain.
The design element.
Okay, Martin. Unfortunately, your vote doesn't count anyway.
That's what I thought. I thought I'd just tell you I'm still here.
Okay. Thank you. Right. We'll move on to the first item on the list, Scarp Close. Each of the two properties has had an application submitted for erection of double garages. So we haven't got... are there any objections from neighbours?
Not when I looked, but I haven't looked this today, I must confess.
Okay. We haven't got a representative from the developer.
But we have got one neighbour.
We have got a member of the public. Would you like to speak on the matter? Okay. Could you please state your name? I know it's
Sarah Binster. Street. Okay, so with this application, from what I can see, there are no heights versus the existing buildings, so it is very difficult to gauge the full impact of these. Plot one garage may be higher, would say height as the actual plot one. It's built beyond, or it's proposed to be built beyond the natural building line of Ashford Street. The house originally was set back to preserve the rural nature of the lane. I think we also need to consider that as you approach the village boundaries, as per the local plan, that the density of housing should be reduced, the density of buildings should be reduced, and this is already relatively high density on quite a small area, and I think that putting in a two ancillary buildings is only going to add to that. And I feel that plot one will become a dominating feature along Ashford Street. Actually, I think that's not bad. I think it could have got a lot worse with that development. And I think putting that that garage, it's also very slightly oddly sited for a garage, I would say. Although I'm not sure they had too many other options because it is right up against the house. While we can't obviously speculate too much, it would be ideal for converting into existing buildings. So I would object on those grounds personally. Plot two, again, so I think the impact that the plot two garage will have on plot one is going to be significant. Because at the back at plot one is considerably above the ground. Again, without heights to the existing building, it is quite difficult to gauge. I would say the addition of these garages will constitute a near continuous line of building in front of that plot, all the way up the side of our property, almost to the back. The scale of these buildings is unnecessary, I think, as well. So, you know, I think we'll see without really needing ancillary buildings, and maybe they can look at doing something which wasn't quite as large. But that's my.
Okay, thank you. We'll go back into session and hear views of David and David first.
My view is I agree with what that lady was saying, and that site seems to get larger and larger. I thought the actual garage was quite large as well. It's too near the road, so I would object to it. Yeah.
Just for clarity, do you propose objecting to both garage one and garage two?
Mm. Yeah, I'm of the same mind. Funnily enough, I had a look at plans, and apparently, yeah, I must have misread them, because I got a height of 4.239 metres off plants, which is, if you look at them, it's pretty tall. They're very imposing garages. And if you plonk them in that particular site, right on the edge of the village, in a high location, it's just adding to the clutter that is on the sensitive southern boundary of the village. For that reason, I would object. Chris Button has sent me some comments as well, and he puts it far better than I could. I'll just read them out. This feels like an opportunistic application or one of planning creep, having obtained consent to now intensify development. The garages extend the density of development in a linear way along a north-south axis, which intensifies the built form in a non-natural way at the edge of the village. There are no heights on the provided plans, so one cannot judge their impact on the neighbour to the west. I also think the garage to plot one will further impact on the street scene from Ashwell Street, where the house was set back from the road. The built form is now brought much closer than any other house or built structure along this section of the street. There are no CGIs of the impact on the street scene. I suspect it will be accepted by NHC, as ancillary outbuildings often are. but I would not be in favour.
So I think there's a common view from neighbours and parish council over the impact on the built form in the area. I mean, it seems a little bit like overdevelopment. Certainly, plot one, that adjacent to Ashwell Street, that will affect the building line. Mm-hmm. Plot two is less clear, but without, because we don't have clarity over the ridge height, I think plot two is probably less clear in terms of its merits than plot one. But as presented, I think we've got grounds for objecting to both on for the reasons stated, and particularly as in regards to plot two, lack of information over ridge height.
So we object. Yeah.
All object.
Okay.
Graham, do you want to get planning done and dusted?
Yeah.
Any issues regarding 85A?
Yeah, we will.
Does that mean I won't be able to say anything there as well or not? Shall I go home or what?
Well, you can speak, Martin, but your vote won't count in respect of any of the applications, but that doesn't mean to say you can't speak. Whereas on 85A Backstreet, family member, I'm going to have to leave the.
Can I interject there?
Yeah.
Clearly, there won't be a quorum once you've left the room. There has to be a quorum of three members for any business to be conducted. So the business, as per that agenda item, cannot be conducted. A suggestion has been made that in order to supply an adequate response to North Harts, that a meeting of the planning committee is convened, giving three clear days notice, depending on when we can get three people to come up with a date.
I think that's
the only way forward, to be honest. The only issue is the application deadline, but North Harts are always very, very cooperative on that. So I'll email the planning officer tomorrow, tell him what's happened, we'll get a fresh date for response. Yeah.
What for?
Okay. Yeah.
Right. That's fine. Thank you.
Deferred to planning committee.
Deferred.
Date will be arranged.
Right. The next item is tree consultation, 35 Station Road, which is the hedge that affects the bus shelter and the light at the end of Lucas Lane, at the junction of Lucas Lane and Station Road. They're proposing to reduce the height by 15 feet and tidy the whole area up, which may possibly solve the problem. But I suggest that we defer any comment until that work is done, but not object to the work being done.
Yeah, I mean, everyone's glad to see a lot of land is shortened a bit.
Yeah.
And, I can't see a problem.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm the same mind. Yeah.
Everyone, okay. So all three minded to approve the reduction, well, it's not
Graham, there is one further tree application that's come in, and it is the parish council's own application for the tree work in St Mary's Churchyard. So I think, as we normally do on that, we respond to the planning officer accordingly, that we're obviously not going to comment adversely about our own application.
May I ask, that's one of the things I put in. I presume I've said those already, haven't I?
Yes.
But that application has the support of the church.
Absolutely.
Fine. So that's planning applications done. So anyone that wants to leave can leave. just been a murder committed. So we'll now go back to open forum for general and matters arising from previous meetings. So the first item concerns questions and comments from a parishioner regarding the parish council's policy procedures. They've been noted on responses will be sent.
Graham, the responses have been sent to some. There is one still with one further request outstanding to be responded to.
Okay.
Well, there is a request in one email.
Right. The second item, I don't know if any member of the public wants to comment on the first point. Okay. The second is to note, because Tom has dealt with it, of a street vendor van in Lucas Lane, but that was actioned. I'll let you comment on that when you speak, Tom.
May I just say, Chairman, I traced him down the village to get rid of them.
Well done. Well done. The third item, illegal parking around the village. We have made the local PCSO aware of that, particularly around the school. And he is a regular visitor to the community and follows up on these matters. Concerns re-speeding, we heard at the last meeting when PCSO and local PC were in attendance, so they will be conducting speed measurement over the coming weeks. And concerns re-trees in Station Road, this is a concern raised by a member of the public who has subsequently made a formal complaint about the parish council's actions, or in his eyes, inaction over the matter. But I'd like to, we're going to offer the parishioner the chance to speak on it at a future parish council meeting. But from the parish council's perspective, there was a response. It isn't the trees which are, we're not the planning authority with responsibility for trees in the community. We can advise and comment, but it's not our legal ability, and the tree in question may well be owned by Hertfordshire County Council Highways. So we referred the issue to Councillor Tom Tyson, who raised it internally, who undertook to raise it internally with North Hearts appropriate departments. So we did do what was our responsibility as far as it extends. So I don't know if Tom wants to say any more on the matter.
You would come on to that when...
Well, take it now, that particular item, please, Tom.
Okay, well, there were two trees in question, two different problems. One was the works done at One Townsend Meadow, which involved cutting back some branches, overhanging branches of an ash tree, which the resident complained about because basically it looks unattractive, and I don't think it's necessarily harmful to the tree, but it doesn't look very nice. The second part of the concern with that particular tree was that the root area had been so affected by the building works that the tree would be unsafe and not balanced properly because of all the work that potentially damaged one side of the tree. I've got no reason to believe that there's been a problem with the root area of that tree. I've asked the planning team if they thought it their responsibility to go and inspect the work that had been done. But the planning application itself was revised in order to move the building work away from the tree. This was all at the time, incidentally, when the tree was in the conservation area. Since the conservation area boundary has been changed, that tree isn't in the conservation area anymore, so it doesn't enjoy the protection that it once did. And that's why it's dealt with as any other tree, and the property owner, number one, has got the right to remove the branches that are overhanging into their property. Who owns the tree? We think it's probably Upshire Highways, but we're not quite sure. It's sometimes a bit hard to pin down County Council on which trees are there in which are. The second tree is the big ash tree on the corner of Townsend Road and the Station Road, which I think is generally agreed is in quite poorly conditioned. And the resident who's made this complaint is fearful that it will eventually collapse into the road and hurt somebody will cross the edge, which I think is, you know, a valid concern. And again, the question is, who's responsible for the maintenance of that tree? And it's the owner of the tree, and again, we think it's probably Archer Highways. Although they say that that's not their land at the moment, that's as far as we've got with them.
There was also a concern about removal of a tree that was planted as part of, in the front garden, as part of the planning, original planning application, and whether the homeowner had the right to remove it.
Yeah, I think that probably the sensible response to that is if I just go and say hello to you.
Does anyone want to make further comment on that? No. Okay. Right, 78.2 is to consider the proposal by Greenie Ashwell Group, re-temporary signage to involve people in caring about our green environment. I've referred this to Steve Jarvis because it's likely that some of the signs, which are small, modest, sort of A4 page size trees, just highlighting the likelihood of there being animals active in the area. Some of those signs may occasionally be planted in Highways land, which would be clearly a matter for Highways to approve or reject. But as far as parish council land is concerned, do any councillors have an objection to those signs, or would we support it?
No, I'd like some signs on my own as well. So.
Okay.
Well, I thought, oh no, not more blooming signs festooning the village. But I saw an example of one of the signs, yeah. And I thought, actually, it's quite charming. So no. I'm very much in favour.
Yeah. Martin, do you have a view?
No, I'm happy with those.
Happy with them. Right. Okay. So it's the ball is in the court of Councillor Steve Jarvis over Highways land, but as far as parish council land is concerned, full support. Did you want to say anything on that at all, Anne? No, okay, fine. Last item is just to note the engagement between the parishioner and the police about neighbourhood watch and alternative schemes to minimise the likelihood of unwanted calling on residents after dark and the risk to privacy and health associated with that. But that's in the hands of the police. Okay, are there any other matters for the public to raise? Well, there is. I know that there is the issue of gigaclear fibre.
And there's also David connection. That wants to speak.
Ah, right. Okay. David, would you go first then? David.
Can you tell me who's speaking?
Yes, David Cook is about.
David Cook speaking. Thank you, Chair. I'd written in advance about a number of things, and I'd done so in the hope that that helps smooth issues through more quickly. Some feedback on whether that is helpful or not would be appreciated. I wanted to summarise the things that I think are outstanding, because I thought there was more than one thing. First of all, I think the housing needs service expenditure is Section 137 expenditure, because it's outside of the functions of the parish council. Secondly, I think there was the issue of the clerk's role as secretary to the CLT and its disclosure. It's not been disclosed. And I notice in the past, there have been declarations about interests, for want of a better expression. Thirdly, the dispensation form that's appeared on the website, Chair, has as its reason for dispensation information to be given. I don't think that's one of the reasons provided in the 2011 Act. I turn now to item 76 on your agenda. It seems that you have two mutually exclusive ways that you now have of giving dispensations. One is the item 76 on the agenda, how a dispensation might be given. The other is the amendments that you made to the Model Code of Conduct provide another method. These are two mutually exclusive methods. I think you need to consider which method you're using and be clear about that, because at the moment it seems that there are two. Finally, later on in the agenda, Chair, you have the issue of complaints being considered. I would urge again that the policy make it clear about what happens when the recipient of a complaint needs to recluse themselves from its administration or its consideration. And the policy does not make that clear. I think the policy should make it clear that informal action might be considered and might be pursued. And the policy is not explicit about that. And it is always, I think, better to try to resolve things informally if they can.
No, it's cook on now.
Thirdly, that if that things might be resolved locally in respect of complaints about members. The first thing the monitoring officer would do if there was a complaint about a councillor at a parish council, would ask the complainant if they'd sought to resolve it locally. At the moment, your policy precludes that. And it would seem to me that in those three regards, how one recluses oneself, informal resolution and local resolution, it might be wise to embrace the capacity to do that. Doesn't mean you're always going to do it. But if you don't embrace those things, then they remain unclear or precluded from the mechanisms at your disposal. So that's, Chair, just a quick summary of the things that I think are outstanding. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. We'll be responding as appropriate separately after over the next week or so.
Just to confirm, David, that these are all items that have all been addressed and will be addressed in writing. And advice has been taken on the specific points that you raise about the legal situation. But the one thing we can confirm is, yeah, the housing needs survey will almost certainly come out of the section 103.7 pot.
Yeah. Okay.
obvious, really.
Yeah, there's any debate about that whatsoever.
Okay, so we'll now move on, still without the standing orders in place, to discuss the GigaClear Fibre consultation. I'll ask Al Dakito, who's been in dialogue with the proposed installers, to update us.
Sure. So back in September, GigaClear leafleted the village. We got in touch with them, and they also got in touch with Jane via Parish Council. We set up a call with their community engagement manager, Roisin McGettigan was the name, on 13th of October. Graham was there as well as Vinny. They outlined their infrastructure plan, which looked very much like the Vinayas dig plan. And it turned out they were not aware of what Vinayas had done, not aware of the digs that had occurred in the village. We enlightened them to that. They indicated that they would speak to Vinayas, see if it was possible to share that infrastructure space, those conduits, to avoid digging, but made no promises. If it were open reach, it would be much easier, but it's a private conduit as opposed to a regulated conduit. So it'll be down to a commercial discussion on that one. But they did say they will update their information once they've had that conversation. I've taken a further action. I've contacted Sir Oliver Heald to get a government position on this, to see if he can apply any leverage on them to play nicely. They talked to GigaClear, discussed a government mandate in order to bring this infrastructure in. So hopefully the government can also give them some guidance of not tearing the village apart a second time. He's currently writing to them, or has written to them, and I'll follow up to see if he's gotten any response in another 2 weeks, perhaps.
Okay. But you haven't yet had a response from GigaClear about their contact with Vinayas?
No, the person with whom we spoke on the phone has now handed off the project to someone else. Mm-hmm. And we're waiting for a bit of detail to come from him. I will again follow up. I'll give him a week or two. He's just been named this week when I chase them. So I'll give him a week or two to get some information. So mid-cycle, and hopefully for next parish council, I'll have some updates.
Okay. I mean, clearly it's not in the interest of the village to dig a second time. No. In the same place. I wonder if North Hearts have any powers that they can bring in on this matter, and if not, whether Hearts Council can. Vinny might know, but in his absence, could you follow up on that, please, Tom?
The other, and putting this out as a concept, not a plan, is whether to organize a village petition to both companies to cooperate, and also an indication that perhaps no one will take their service if they come in and dig the village again, and put a little commercial or financial leverage on them, that they would go and spend a lot of money to get next to no signups.
It's worth considering. Any thoughts?
Yeah, I think that's a good idea.
I think we wait until we get a first response from them.
I think that's.
And if they come back and say no, go away, then.
I mean, the concerning thing is that they're, from the conversation that we had, consultation that we had with them back in the beginning of October.
It was September. 13 October when we spoke to them. 13
October. They were talking about potentially starting infrastructure activities in the new year,
right?
Quite early. So there isn't a lot of time.
Yeah. I think that first part of their build was getting the main trunk line from Steeple to Ashwell, and then the build plan for the village itself was separate.
Yeah, okay.
So they're looking to connect to a fiber point that they have somewhere on the other side of Steeple.
Right, okay. Well, that wouldn't impact the village.
Correct.
That would give them the means of tapping into the Vinaeus infrastructure and BT if they could agree to do that. But okay, well, yeah, we'll perhaps work. Let's see what their update is, and then take a view on communicating to the rest of the village.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks for taking an interest in yourself.
Sure.
Thanks, appreciate that.
Thank you.
I have one other item separate, if I may.
Yep.
Regards to the planned mast and signage for the museum going in at the end of Alms Lane, where it hits the high street. Steve Jarvis mentioned this last month. They have marked, and I spoke to Steve with it because it's adjacent to my property. The intent was they were going to pull one of the wooden posts there and replace it with a new pole. Gentlemen from Hearts Highway or whatever were out marking location, and they were showing a new dig point kind of toward deeper into the pavement on the high street. I alerted Steve about it. He said, no, that's not right. And he was going to be chasing the appropriate department. I had hoped he'd be here tonight, but he's not. So I'll follow up with him tomorrow.
Okay. Yeah. Keep to where it.
Keep to where it was intended to be, where it's out. It's, you know, okay. Instead of adding an additional post, it's using a location that's already there.
Seems to make sense. Yeah. Everyone happy with that?
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, that's it for me.
Okay. In which case, we'll go back into.
Yeah, you haven't done Tom's bit, yeah.
Oh, sorry.
Well, although he hasn't.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, please.
There's some very, very small things. 83.2 on the agenda. Martin, the churchyard, the box hedges, the tiny little, the bushes,
yes.
Have all been destroyed by the box moth and will probably have to be removed if they could perhaps be removed at the same time for work.
I don't know whether Martin's on mute on that. The
Martin is muted, yes.
Point of information, Anne. The although the parish council is responsible for the general maintenance of the churchyard and the contract and the tree work, the church itself does do what we call the ornamentals. They are definitely on side with that. And I know they were looking into some substitutes last year, but they are looking the boxes do look a bit as if they're on the way out.
The other thing is 81.1.3. That's Kevin, and I've dealt with that one. The other one is 80.4, which is village green energy. And I just wanted to state my support for work with maybe eventual. The impact of climate change will probably be felt tomorrow with another storm going close by. But the impact of climate change in this country is getting worse. And another useful piece of information is that 75%. Approximately, according to government statistics, I'm concerned about the climate emergency. It's about time we did something in Ashwell positive. I'm personally concerned that as individuals, there's a lot we can do as individuals. There's things like the reduce, return, repair, recycle, all the R things. And being Ashwell's doing its bit to try and keep CO2 in the soil, and also to mitigate some of the effects of climate change, retreat something and so on. But by far the biggest problem regarding CO2 emissions is energy use and the move by the County Council towards carbon saving across the community. And community energy projects is extremely exciting, and I'm delighted to be involved. So that's that, really.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Anne. I can report, I'll cover it. From working groups, but thank you for keeping involved, and collectively I think we'll get there. Somewhere
even yeah. Someday, there's another small point which is actually outside the parish, but I don't know if Steve Giles would have commented on it at all, but Camilla George and the Green Ashwell team were very concerned about the cutting down the trees on the A505, and got Tom and Steve and Sir Oliver involved in this. I'm not sure that there's anything we can do, but we're upset, and I think that needs to be
Okay. Well, we've had an assurance that there's going to be some replanting, but there's nothing that can be done other than that now, because the damage has been done.
Yes, the thing that we don't know for sure is what future plans there are to progress that work further down the road, where the growth is even thicker than it was when they did. Between Royston and the Fairfield Road. So at the moment, Steve thinks that there are no firm plans to carry on with what they've been doing. It doesn't, the initial, I'll say, excuse for doing the work was to clear a drainage ditch that's between the two carriageways and the stretch that they worked on. And there doesn't appear to be a ditch further down, so they wouldn't have that reason for doing quite such drastic work, in my opinion. Nothing to do with me, basically, but that's what I think, and that's certainly the case that I'd be prepared to present Steve to the Highways Green Space team, who are responsible for doing this.
I mean, if Steve wasn't made aware in advance of the work being done, then I'm sure he will be making representations to make sure that he is involved in future.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. All right. Fine. Let's reinstate standing orders. Tom, tell us. Give us your report. Right.
A few things this time. From last meeting, the Gardeners Lane walls scenario.
Yeah.
We've tried to get some sort of action agreed on this. Again, it's Highways who are humming and hawing about the ownership of the wall. The conservation officer had a communication between me and the Highways people, the result of which was an email reply from Highways, which was slightly ambivalent, I thought. They said that they would take steps to make it safe, which you can see what they've done there. They put two bollards up and a bit of plastic. So I think that that's basically not an acknowledgement that they are responsible for the wall. They are just saying, we've done what we need to do to make it safe for passers-by and passing traffic. So at the moment, Steve Jarvis is looking into who actually really does own up for it. We think we possibly know the answer, but we're not sure.
Okay, thank you.
Next one, you mentioned earlier the street bender. North Arts does have a street trading policy. It's generally favourable to street trading. It covers only the four major towns, which is Letchworth, Baldock and Royston, and not the villages. So there is no policy that covers Lucas Lane, for example, in Ashwell. So normally the policy is of concession. So there are lists of what they call concession streets, where street trading is allowed, and I'm not quite sure what the inverse position is legally. And I didn't see the response from the police if there was on that. So at the moment, I'm not quite sure what Martin did to the trader. I mean, I'm assuming we're all talking about the candy floss man or woman. I did happen to notice in the Ashwell Hub Facebook page that Casey Candy has booked him or herself back in next Wednesday at Lucas Lane. Their contact details are on that Facebook page. So I emailed them, but only at 6 o'clock this evening to say that there had been a concern about breaking the payment and engine idling while they were there. I don't know if there are any other legal aspects to street trading at that point. But I certainly mentioned that I hope that they're aware that they shouldn't be blocking the payment, and if the engine was running, it was doing so because they needed it to be or to run equipment, which is actually really valid reasons to have your engine idle, even in a residential area. So I haven't had any feedback from them, and I don't know if I would, but I thought it was worth contacting them as their email address is on that poster.
Thank you. On that, Martin, did you hear that response from Tom?
And Martin, you're on mute. You need to unmute yourself.
Can you unmute yourself, Martin? Can you touch the screen and click on unmute? No, you're still muted. Unfortunately, we can't hear you. We can't hear you, Martin, because you're muted. So you can. Right, we can now. Did you hear Tom?
Yes.
Are you
contesting? I heard him talking about the van.
Yeah.
Well, I went the one I went chasing, yes.
Yes, that one.
I didn't catch him, though.
Apparently they're coming back, or they may be coming back next Wednesday.
Right. I'll keep a lookout for them if I'm about in the village, but probably I'll be getting over this meeting after that.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Tom, carry on.
We had a query about parking in the village, or a complaint, I should say, and I got an enforcement officer or officers, I'm not quite sure how many came out, to visit Ashwell last week, and which they did. They didn't give out any parking tickets because there was no one parking illegally, that was infringing the rules. But she did say that they've actually come back again today.
I saw two wardens walking down the high street today, yes.
Okay, so hopefully that's a factor of deterrent. They were becoming aware that they're not immune from the rules. They may have a bit out of the sticks and so on. So that was that. On the trees, the last thing I think was the urban and civic, which is on the agenda. But shall I just give you a quick update now? So I think everyone's got one of these.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
I know that because I was up in Caldecott in the middle of nowhere yesterday, and there was one in the letterbox up there. So I've seen if they made it up that far, and probably managed to do Ashwell. Yes, so what the situation is that there was a strategic sites planning project board meeting on Monday, at which Urban Civic presented some slides showing their preferred options for the master plan. And these are the options now which have been endorsed to be presented at the public consultation meetings, the board of which are listed on that flyer that you've received. So I mean, obviously, there's no detail on the flyer because it's a very sort of conceptualized version of what they've got in mind, deliberately so.
Oh, this is no good.
But there will be detail at the exhibitions in Baldock on those 3 dates. So please just encourage everyone to go along and make their views known. And I think there's going to be some maps and such like, so that you can, I'm not sure what they mean by that, but whether it means that you can write on it or if it's something more sophisticated than that. They're also going to possibly exhibit at the Baldock Beach Waste EcoFest session, which is going to be in the community centre on the same Saturday as they are in Baldock. And they're going to go to Max Templar School as well and present to the pupils there at the school, which I think is quite a good, quite a nice idea. But I don't want to go into all the details of what's on the proposal form, because I think partly we know them partly it can take quite a long time.
Yeah, okay. All right, thank you. Anything else?
No, that was it. Unless you've got any questions.
Any questions for Tom?
Yeah. Yes. Have they managed to sort out the problems with water and sewage yet? So
with regard to the application, I don't know if there's been any concrete progress made in that.
What was the question, Chairman?
The question was, have Urban and Civic come to any conclusion, or have they been able to prove whether there's adequate water supply and sewage provision in the plan?
Thank you.
And Tom said he wasn't aware that that had been covered, but maybe that's a question which they'll answer at the public hearing.
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly been discussed, and I know that Urban and Civic are now very well aware of concerns around the aquifer and the local chalk stream, particularly in the island, but elsewhere as well, the knock-on effect, and of the impossibility, I would say, of supplying all those homes from the aquifer. And that's clearly something that's got to be worked on in great detail with ambient water. With affinity water will be supplying to the site. And hopefully there'll be a surface water source, maybe Grafham water, maybe something else in the offing, but that would be much preferable to sucking more water out of our aquifer.
Yeah. Okay. All right, thank you. So, yeah. Martin, question from Sarah Binstead. Will the new development have direct access to the A505 without going through Baldock or Ashwell?
There's a road link proposed that will go from somewhere past the Newnham Tunnel around into the development site, across just before Lower Bygrave and across the field and onto the A505.
That's only a proposal, though, isn't it?
It's a proposal.
Yes. Nowhere near.
No. It's all a proposal. What they need to find is the funding for it, which once upon a time, I think, was promised by the government. I'm not quite sure, I can't say confidently, that's still in existence at the moment.
And the agreement of the railways.
And the railways, of course.
Yeah, so there's quite a big way ahead, so I wouldn't hold your breath at the moment.
The railway bridge is the big deal there.
And will the development be able to go ahead without that
broken? That's a good question.
I don't think that's
sorry, were you asking, you weren't asking me. The trouble is, I don't know whether you're speaking to me. I'm not daft or stupid, but I'm having to do everything by verb, by what you're saying. I think we can't possibly say what's that's going to happen about. It's not sort of not knowing, but it is not knowing. You see what I mean?
Tom and Martin are both on the same page on that. We don't know yet.
Sorry if that's not helpful.
Yeah. Right. Okay. Thank you. Okay. In which case, we'll now go on to item 80. We'll go back into session. Go on to item 80, reports from working groups. So, trees and hedges, David. I see there's been some action down at the REC.
Springs are not doing anything to do with something.
Yeah, we'll come to the springs a bit later on, Martin.
Oh, we'll make it soon because I don't have much laughter left in there.
Okay. Just stay awake. More games laying, there's no problems at all. The hedge painting, stop clipping out, stop going to at all. The wreck, as you can see, they've had a new fence put in front of the hedge on the station roadside, which has been damaged. And also the entrance for the British Legion has been is ready to go. So that's okay.
Are you happy with what they've done there? It looks like a sort of a gravel entrance arena. I mean, they've obviously dug out. And it looks like gravel, is that? Or tar?
Well, that's the only other thing would be put. I didn't seem to think that netting would work. So they put that down and use the whacker plate. The only other thing they can do is put tarmac on it or similar.
Right, so they're not going to grow grass through the netting?
No, there shouldn't be, because there's about two or three layers, I think.
Right.
But the only other thing that sprung up was that area where they wheel them up, is that enough? They've still got to go onto the grass. Are they going to have problems with the grass?
Well, they shouldn't do. I mean, it doesn't get heavily used, heavily enough used, as far as I'm aware.
But the hedge on the station roadside, as we all know, has been clobbered by the drought. There was talk of Green and Ashwell supplying wicks for the hedge. Yeah.
To re-establish what was there previously.
Yeah, to re-establish what was killed, yeah.
Okay, that would be great.
But if you're worried about the gravel, I can have words with it and see what he says. But
I haven't looked closely at it, but I mean, are you happy with what is there?
Well,
because I thought there was a possibility that they were going to put in a decent foundation and then put the sort of netting through which grass could grow. No, it wasn't that.
Right. No, you wanted to put a membrane down, stop growing arms.
Yeah.
And then to put this gravel on top and then whack it down in the whacker plate.
Right, and that's what they've done.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, hopefully. So
if it does what it's intended to do.
I thought that works, but then we'll see what we can do.
Okay. Fine.
That's it, no, really. Thank you.
Okay. Affordable housing.
What is all this?
This is 80.2.1, Martin. Chris isn't here, so we will have to defer.
Just a quick question.
Yeah.
Can we have some signs to stop people travelling all over the hedges?
I could do some lamination.
And I was going to ask for dog signs, but I have got a few. Is it okay to stick them on the notice board?
Yeah. Remind me of them. Yeah, I don't know. I'll write something. Yes.
Okay. And the housing needs survey, there's an agreement with the housing needs of the North Harts, and they will be
having a meeting to decide next steps on that. Yeah?
Yeah, something I have to write.
Section 106.
Right, the current issue, which we've heard in the last couple of meetings, is the uplift of current Section 106 allowances, which was set in 2006. I think I've been having an email exchange with Alex Howard at NHC. Unfortunately, I missed his last missive, and there was a bit of a delay. So I've recently responded to a question he had, and I'm hoping to get some sort of answer fairly soon, although I suspect that he's struggling with this particular issue and is not getting much guidance on it. I don't know if I think I'll have a word with Tom actually to see where we might go if nothing's forthcoming.
Okay.
So we'll deal with that later.
Fine, thank you. Item 80/4, the green energy and EV charging infrastructure. There's been quite a lot happen on that in the last few weeks. Anne Fletcher and myself attended a seminar, a group gathering in Whittlesford by a group who've activated community energy initiatives in the Whittlesford area. And as a result of that, which was heavily attended by members of the sort of Cambridgeshire community, we've gone on to take part in a number of other zero carbon and energy infrastructure webinars and courses. And as a result of one of those, which was hosted by a company called Believe, which specializes in electric vehicle charging systems in towns and villages, they now have a totally self-funded, i.e. by them, process for installing from charging points on the street with ranging from 7 kilowatts upwards to enable people who don't have off-street parking to access a charger. Now, there's a good number of houses in Ashwell that fall into that category. As a result of attending that webinar, I've made contact directly with them and have a meeting with one of their staff next Wednesday to see whether they could come forward with a plan for Ashwell. Presumably it would need to involve Harts Highways and potentially North Harts, but it would be at zero cost to the community. Presumably it would get recovered through the charging rate that they would charge people to use their chargers. But they're, from the pictures that I've seen, and technology has moved on a lot, they're little, basically little plaques that sit in the ground level on the street. And if you want to charge an electric vehicle, you press it, and up comes a little low-level charger right on the edge of the road. You plug your car into that, pay the appropriate rate via your credit card, and charge your vehicle at whatever rate can be served to you in that place. It will depend upon the amount of energy that of electric energy that is
that the cables can carry in that area. So that would be part of a survey, but potentially it's, it brings the possibility of electric vehicle charging to places in the village that don't have off-street parking and the ability to put in their own charger one step closer. So that's point one. The second is that by attending another webinar with Community Energy, hosted by Community Energy England, during the course of this month, they will formally get the funding, which amounts to, it's England only, not Scotland and Wales, from the government of £10 million, which is shared equally amongst five hubs. But if there is a lower uptake in one area than another, the money would be transferred to a high demand area. And basically, that £10 million covers research and evaluations of what the energy needs are on a community by community basis, and how that particular community with the natural resources that exist, the opportunity for water power, solar power, wind power, or heat pumps, any combination or all of those systems to reduce carbon and provide a non-fossil fuel energy system. The actual cost of capital infrastructure would have to be funded separately, but their funding, which could go up to, in two stages, up to something like £15,000 per community, would go to preparing a business plan that would be presented to energy companies and the government and other bodies to fund implementation of the scheme. And it's geared towards larger communities rather than one-off households or businesses. So a parish council would come very high up their list of priorities. So I've already written to them. I mean, this webinar was only a couple of days ago. I've already written to them. But one of the factors which participants, and there were 185 communities took part in the webinar, they are encouraged to join Community Energy England. And for a parish council, there's a joining fee, probably an annual fee of £165. But because it's about to go active, I've put a stake in the ground for Ashwell. I would recommend to the community that we fund that from an appropriate pot in our budget, so that we're taken seriously.
Can I suggest that that's accepted, Chair? Because I listened to it the other day from you. I think it's a very good idea.
Okay, thank you, Martin. Anyone else?
Yeah.
Okay. All in favour?
Oh, sorry, we're voting on this.
Yeah,
I think we should. If you're happy to.
I mean, it's 100... Because I won't have any power left soon.
Okay.
Okay, yeah. I'm voting
for you. I mean, notionally, we could take the decision without approving it, but I think under the circumstances, and particularly with the feedback that we got at the village meeting, parish meeting, back in May, I did raise that the matter of moving towards greater. Less reliance on fossil fuels, and there was a clear majority in support.
So was that accepted, Chairman?
Yeah, I think it was.
Right, good.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, no, there's certainly funding in the section that's fine.
Okay, good.
Where are we now?
So we're now on to, we've done planning matters, reports from committees, HR committee, report 82.1.
Do you want to hear about the yearbook?
Yeah, but
the yearbook. Yearbook.
This is just information.
When are you getting to the springs and things?
We're nearly there, Martin. Just a little while longer.
I'm sorry, I'm having to work in virtual darkness here.
I'll be very quick. I mean, yearbook. Okay. We've had three quotes back. I'm not going to mention names and numbers for obvious reasons, but they're not shocking. It's broadly in line with what we spent last year. Slight concern over advertisers. Three advertisers have pulled out already, and this is a fairly early stage. Two of them citing the fact that they didn't get any inquiries last year, so I could quite understand that they're reluctant this time around. So it's going to be a hard sell. We've got the complete team in place now, and they're all engaged. Got Tracy Young, Cahill Skins, Margaret Budgeon and John and Gay Rowlands. So that is a very strong team. They're all pretty well engaged. So quite happy with that. Good. But as I said, slight concern over the advertising.
Thank you. Right, so HR committee, update on the vacancies. We have interviewed a number of applicants for clerk and deputy clerk. I propose that we have a brief private session at the end of the meeting to discuss the applications because for confidentiality reasons. Is everyone happy to do that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. In which case, we'll move on to the Finance Committee. There was a preliminary meeting a couple of weeks ago. Minutes were circulated, and there is a further meeting to be held to discuss refinements to that initial draft. And I think, given the few of us that are present, I'll not say any more about that until we have the next stage of the meeting. Are you happy with that?
Yep.
Okay. Premises, the springs. Martin, are you there?
Yeah, just about. Actually, it's starting with it's the springs to start with. Two things to tell you about. One is the fact that I've been talking about the bottom part of the springs being people come in, and it's taken weeks to get them to come in, and they're coming in, I think, in 2 weeks' time. So that's the part on
the steps.
West.
Mm-hmm. What? It's the steps, isn't it?
No.
No, you're talking about the tree work.
Yeah, springs.
Yeah, the tree work.
They come under the springs.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, tree work at the springs. That's going to be done in December, isn't it?
Yeah, but there's some other stuff that's being done sooner than that, which is good. So we're catching up on that. I don't know why we came by that. It really wasn't our fault. It was the fact of the people that are coming in to do it. The other thing is the rotation of the water coming through has been 100%, but you're not surprised with the summer we've had. And there are one or two other things that need be doing. And believe it or not, it's been difficult to get people to do it. The small person doing things seems to be more and more difficult to get hold of. And over the years I've been involved, they've never been difficult to get. But those people have retired, and we haven't seemed to have got people to actually doing things, sort of repairing bits and pieces that need. But Jane, I don't know whether you've got any late thing that we were talking about a couple of days ago about the people that might help out the...
Yes, you're absolutely right, Martin. There is one other iron I've got in the fire at the moment, so fingers crossed on that.
That's in respect of the crumbling step.
Yeah, Yeah.
There's a couple of minor things. There's a little bit of fencing work, and one of the steps needs repairing. Ideally, one chap, anybody, to do all three together would be great.
Okay.
Yeah.
And all the rest of the springs are under control, really. The, as I say, the fur rating is pretty good. And if we get these odds and bits and pieces done, then we'd be really happy. Okay. Are there any questions on that?
No, don't think so.
And on St. Mary's Churchyard, again, I always seem to get the people that have difficulty getting through to us. For example, it took the bishop, God knows how long, to give permission to actually get the springs done. You remember that piece that fell over about 6 months ago? As you come in to the from the coming into the Springs area, sorry, St. Mary's area, it's going to be done now, but we don't know when it's going to be done. When as soon as this chap has agreed to do it, then we'll get it all done. But I get so frustrated when something you know that you need doing, you get to the right people to give you the permission to do it, and then it falls in a sort of holiday without coming back and telling you. Yeah. So hopefully that's going to be done fairly quickly.
It's scheduled now, Martin.
Is it?
Yeah.
How come you know then?
Because it says so on the agenda.
Oh, right. Sorry, I thought I only printed it out last week. So everything else all right? There's one or two bits and pieces have been done. A lot of the things were held up with the rain, believe it or not, but I'm happy with the springs as well as St. Mary's as well. So yeah. Any questions on that?
No, Jane's sort of made contact with the suppliers and that's all scheduled now.
Okay, thank you. Oh, and by the way, while I'm on my feet, can I just mention, is it wrong to say about the Royston and District people that want some money for their movement.
Well, we'll cover that under finance.
Well, I'm saying that in case I have no community left.
Right. Okay.
Thanks.
If you
understand, I found difficulty today. Today's been the most difficult thing I've ever done through. Yeah. Okay.
All right. Thanks, Martin. Right. Parish clock. That's going to be serviced because there's been some. Error on the chimes. War Memorial still up.
Cemetery.
Recreation ground, no further update on that. Street furniture.
Litterbins. Oh, yeah. Litterbins. Okay. Right, I've completed the survey. I'm not going to do any more. Last time when I was out, I think I might have got them after they were recently emptied, because everything apart from the bins outside the springs and outside the village shop was nearly empty. But I think, you know, now is the time to just have a good think and come up with some recommendations. We have some data, let's just use that. I don't particularly want to do this exercise all on my own because I want somebody else's thoughts on this as well. So if anybody is willing to volunteer to kind of have a look at what data we've collected and come up with some ideas, then I'd like to hear about it.
Well, I think when Vinny's back, I think he said he would contribute to that.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
If you need anyone else,
I'll start with Vinny and see if we can get some thoughts on this. Right. But something, yeah, I think we can come up with some sensible changes.
Right, good. Okay. Seats, Chris or Vinny will update us at the next meeting on that. But I think they've done their survey. We're just waiting for their report. Highways liaison meeting set for Monday the 20th, which is good. Are there any other premises or responsibilities reports? No. Okay. On to finance and governance. Budget tracking and monthly summary, that's noted. Mm-hmm. I don't, on the
8411 requests for payment or other quotes. There's been the request from Royston District Community Transport.
That's the one I was just talking about.
Which we have previously supported. Money was allocated in the budget for it.
And so, I propose £200.
Yeah. Okay. Everyone else?
Yeah. Is that what we get? Happy
with that? It is.
Yeah. Let's go with that. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. We're all in support of that then, Martin. And a proposal to approve a grant of £10 to the REC charity budget in order to maintain a separate bank account, which is just purely admin. Everyone happy with that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The next item, 84.2, a bit more serious. There's been a request from North Hearts Electoral Services for us to comment on their proposal to introduce an uncontested fee to cover the processing of applications to become parish councillors at the next election in May 24, which has previously been fully absorbed by North Hearts. And because there is the response, because they have the responsibility to do that under the Localism Act, it seems a little bit ironic that they want to charge Ashwell for carrying out a legally required function.
Besides, it's just shuffling, you know, money between two different pots. I mean, you know, it's the money will be recouped by the charge we pay
in council tax.
And you know, it's just a question of the parish paying it rather than the district. I mean, it's daft. Yeah, it's still coming out of the council tax.
It's the district's responsibility to do it, so therefore they should fund, they should allocate it in their budget.
Totally agree with that, Chairman. I propose we do that.
So are we all agreeing that we not sensible? Okay.
Is that agreed?
Yeah, that's agreed.
Thank you.
Budget setting for 24-25. We've already touched on that, covered that. Ongoing review of policies and procedures, complaints procedure. We've been provided in the appendices to the agenda, Appendix F, which is the SLCC model document, which would replace the existing policy of procedure. I have discussed it with Chris, because he had some concerns at the last meeting about which version was appropriate, and he is content with the SLCC model document. What are the views of others?
Well, I would really like to put this one to bed. Okay, let's first of all, let's get clear what we're going to vote on here. The complaints procedure, right? Yeah. Scope. The complaints procedure applies to complaints about council administration and procedures, and may include complaints about how council employees have dealt with your concerns. The complaints procedure doesn't apply to complaints by one council employee about another one. It doesn't apply to complaints against councillors, which are dealt with by other policies. Okay, so you know, its scope is relatively limited, and this is the SLCC model, which is supported, as I understand it, by HAPTC. So you know, I really recommend that we just go with this and not mess around with it anymore. Having said that, one question is, do we need to tailor this any further?
No other councils
Sorry, when I say Taylor is, sorry, I should make myself clear. I do apologise.
Yeah.
We've got Ashbel, we've put Ashbel Parish Council in here, so presumably we don't need to localise it in any way whatsoever. But I've noticed that, yeah, you know, it's going to be adopted. Complaints against councillors. Complaints against councillors covered by the Code of Conduct for members adopted by the council on C date above.
4th of October 2020.
Yeah, so that needs to be inserted.
That's the only bit that needs to be.
Okay, yeah. So there are just some, there is one small localization, I would call it, that needs to go in. But apart from that, I think, you know, please, you know, let's just sign this one off.
Okay. Is everyone happy to do so?
Yeah.
I support that as well. Martin, you happy with that?
Yeah, fine.
Okay, right. Approved. That brings the formal meeting to a close. Thank you, everyone, for sticking with it.
And those are working in the dark.
Yeah, well done, Martin. You're going to stay with us, Martin, please, because we're going to discuss.